You're tuned in to Agriculture Today. Glad to have you along with us once again as we check the trends in the cattle markets and the coming off a rather down week for the trades. But we'll also dwell on the realities of the formal opening of U.S. beef sales once again into the People's Republic of China. Our guest has put together some thoughts on that latter topic, which we'll explore further. Darrell Peel is a livestock economist out of Oklahoma State University, as you know. Before we talk Chinese beef trade and the potential for U.S. sales there, Darrell, sharp downturn in both the cash and futures markets this past week. And this has become somewhat worrisome now, a couple of weeks in a row of lower prices.
It is. I think mostly you would describe this as a seasonal movement. Honestly, this market, you know, stayed stronger and went higher this spring than most everybody that's willing to admit it had really expected. And I think what we're seeing is largely a seasonal move. It's kind of coming abruptly. But again, that may be because we sort of defied gravity for a little bit longer than expected, and now it's really coming home to roost. So, you know, the cash markets, again, I think the reality here, we're at seasonally large slaughter times of the year and seasonally, you know, big beef production here for the first half of the year. So I think that's most of it. The other part of it, of course, is the futures market has had a really long run of long positions, speculative positions, and it may be that there's some change in attitudes on that side as well.
One of the things that's on producers' minds, these markets just don't seem to move gradually anymore. It's a quick shift one way or the other. It's that volatility that we still have a hard time getting our arms around.
I think that's right. And, you know, again, the futures has clearly been plagued by that and continues to be. For all the reasons that we've sort of talked about and alluded to, you've got a lot of speculative trade. Increasingly, it's speculative trade that has somewhat different short-run motivations for trade than really market fundamentals. And so, and these markets have the ability to move faster now because of position limits and because of electronic trading. So they can move. Traders like movement. So you see more movement. That's an issue and a concern for producers. Even in the cash markets, we see a little bit of that. And some of that's just kind of, again, this market turning the corner. We're getting actually to the point now we're almost past 4th of July sales. Most of those are probably in place. So we're kind of thinking about the midsummer doldrums in the heat of the summer. And I think that's what's coming to roost on this market from a demand standpoint at the same time that we do have, you know, again, larger slaughter numbers and increased beef production on a general basis.
And you allude to this contributing the fall off in cutout values, and that makes one wonder if the bloom, if you will, is off this demand domestically that's really buoyed these markets for a while.
Well, you know, it could well be. Again, we seasonally sort of expected some of this. Is it more than seasonally expected? I think we don't know yet. We kind of observe these things after the fact. It's really hard to know going in whether there's some fundamental change. We've seen some changes in some of the wholesale price relationships that, you know, rib products have looked really strong and relative, but loins, on the other hand, have looked a little bit weak. And so there may be some other things going on with demand that's more than seasonal that contributes to this as well.
Well, we will see how that shakes out domestically, but let's spend the bulk of our time on some thoughts that you pulled together on the resumption of U.S. beef sales to China, formally unleashed here about a week and a half ago. You call this a two-step process, and step one was establishing the rules of the game, as you will. Would you expand on that?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of excitement, a lot of discussion, well-placed, I might add, in terms of the political process of getting access to this market. The last step, last part of that step, I should say, was sort of getting an agreement in place that spells out the details of, you know, what's required. So we've dealt now with the traceability requirements, the prohibitions on certain technologies, and so on. All of that's part of the political process that, you know, establishes the rules of the game. And sometimes what I think we forget is that from now on, the next step is really where the market processes begin and go to work.
And elaborate on those, the economic processes of the markets and determining the value and the timing of trade. There's a lot going on here, isn't there?
There really is. And, of course, you know, beef is not one product. It's many different products. We don't know, at least generally, we don't know specifically what products are going to be in demand. Are we looking for middle meats versus end meats, choice versus select, you know, what mix of offals will be a part of that mix? And all of those things will determine the value, at least initially, and it's probably something that can grow and change over time. But we don't really know what that value is right now. On the other hand, we also know that we're going to have to incur some additional costs relative to these restrictions and stipulations on access that will determine the amount of product that's even eligible for that market. So that process all takes time, and I think you know, companies involved in that will move rather cautiously to begin with to sort of figure out what the values are, what the extra costs are, and where that economic balance is.
And you make a point there that there will be additional costs for the industry to put that beef out there that qualifies for export to China. That has to be accounted for along the line here somewhere.
Well, it really does. Again, we're going to qualify these animals on a per animal or a per carcass basis in terms of certifying origin and certifying the lack of use of implants and beta agonists, those kinds of technologies. And yet we're not likely to sell the entire carcass or all of those products to the Chinese. So we're going to be incurring costs on a per carcass basis and getting some additional value from some of those products as they go into that particular market. But the rest of those costs will have to be covered in some other part of the market.
Darryl, there's another part of your analysis that has not been discussed much, but it deserves more attention, and that is there has been what would be called unofficial flow of U.S. beef into the Chinese market through other countries, other channels, and how those unofficial sales will interact with the now official sales. There are a few dynamics at play here, too.
I think so. I think it's just important for people to keep in mind that, you know, we have to not just look at the numbers associated with China as we go from here forward and start seeing monthly export totals. You know, one of the things that may happen is these unofficial flows that have been transshipped through other countries may now convert to direct flows into China. So they'll show up or some portion of them will show up as exports to China, and they may be sizable numbers. They could be. We really don't know yet. But at the same time, that may be offset by decreased flows that have been previously been counted as flows to those other countries. So it's going to be important to take a comprehensive look across several markets as we evaluate what's really going on in this Chinese market. We just don't know. The unofficial flows may continue and we may add on official flows, or we may displace those unofficial flows with official flows. Probably that's what will happen over time, but how quickly it will happen, we really don't know. So I guess the point is that we're going to have to take a careful look at these numbers as we start getting these trade numbers here in the next few months.
What this comes down to as far as prices available to producers out there, you believe that with all of these unknowns, there will be very little initial influence on beef prices, cattle prices here in the U.S. as a result of trade with the Chinese?
I think this probably starts slow and builds over time in terms of quantity specifically, and maybe even more so in terms of value that we can pick up in terms of price changes in the U.S. market. I think it's going to be a work in progress, somewhat tentative in the early stages, and then will develop over time. I'm very optimistic that this could be a hugely important market for the U.S. beef industry over time, but I don't think it jumps to that immediately. I think it takes perhaps many months for us to begin to see how this thing is ultimately going to settle out. And will we be able to detect noticeable jumps in prices for beef or cattle in the U.S.? I think probably not. But over time, it's a potentially big market. It can add, it can add value. It may show up as changes in price levels. And certainly, we would expect it to show up in terms of volumes of beef. And so making the industry bigger is going to help producers.
That's great insight, and we appreciate that. Ask you as we conclude about the markets themselves as we head into a new trading week. Again, coming off of a downturn on the cash fed cattle trade, futures with a rough go of it as well. Conversely, will we see this market stabilize and move higher? It's been an erratic pattern, Darryl.
it really has been erratic. And honestly, I'd be hesitant to say that it couldn't turn around and bounce back up. I guess I don't really expect that at this point. I do think we've kind of turned the corner seasonally. You know, perhaps that was a rather abrupt change, and so maybe we don't expect that to continue. I really don't look for it to necessarily erode that dramatically going forward. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a little more seasonal pressure on, you know, starting with the wholesale beef prices and then working back through the fed cattle. We kind of go into, again, those midsummer doldrums here for another month or so, maybe 5 or 6 weeks, and then we're past that, and we start thinking about the other end of summer and the demand that goes with Labor Day and those kinds of things.
We always appreciate your observations and are looking forward to our next visit. Darrell, thanks for your time. We'll talk again soon.
You betcha.
He is Darrell Peel, livestock economist out of Oklahoma State University, with his input on the cattle trading trends here on Agriculture Today. We'll return in a few moments on the K-State Radio Network.